special guest from Gordo's Corner today. We're going to be joined shortly by Adam Carolla. And I don't know what your take is on Adam Carolla, but I think this guy is kind of genius. He's done a lot of stuff. Of course, The Man Show, Loveline. He was the co-host of that radio program that aired for like 10 years when he was on it. And then he was also had the biggest podcast ever. He's in the Guinness Book of World Records as the most downloaded podcast. Hmm. He started a podcast when there were only like four of them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, everyone and their sister-in-law has one.
TC's got one now.
Yes. That shows you how far podcasts have fallen. But he still does it, and it's hugely successful. And you know why he started doing his podcast? He used to do morning radio. He was Howard Stern's successor in a lot of markets when Stern jumped over and went off terrestrial radio. And Carolla took over for him. Well, oddly enough, Carolla has a habit of opening his mouth and saying things that offend people, like even more than Stern. Oddly enough, that's something. And his show got kicked off several markets, and then there was also a format switch, and so then he lost his morning radio gig. Well, he started that podcast, and now that thing's downloaded like millions a week.
I think he's funny.
I do, too.
I think when he's together with Kimmel, too, he's really funny.
And what's so great about him is his unfiltered mouth. He's the most honest, I think, of just about any performer I've ever listened to.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the things he's gotten in trouble for was bagging on the Philippines. He said the Philippines, they got Manny Pacquiao and sex tours, and that's all they've got. Get your S together, Philippines.
Oh.
JC, I mean, again, it's fine to be proud of your countrymen, but that's it? That's all you got? He later apologized for that. Then he also got in trouble with the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, or GLAAD. In his podcast, he was referring to transgendered people, and he said, when did we start giving an S about these people? He said that they ought to change their LGBT moniker to Y-U-C-K. So, he's not afraid to say anything. Now, he can get away with this even more now because he's on podcasts, but he's coming to the Granada Theater, and he's going to be there. When is this? October 15th. They're selling tickets now. I'm going to go to this thing.
September 15th. What day is that?
October 15th. Did I say September?
No, you may
September
have said,
15th
may have,
is tomorrow.
Yeah, you may have said October.
October 15th at Granada, and you can get your tickets at GranadaTheater.com.
What's his show like? Is it stand-up?
Yeah, I guess it is stand-up. And he tells stories, and he talks about his rich guy problems, and it's funny. He's funny. And you know who's the biggest fan of Adam Carolla? At least I suspect that this is true, because I hear a lot of Adam Carolla in this broadcaster's style, and that's Dan McDowell.
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. Dan loves him.
Yeah.
Has Dan gone public with that and saying, hey, I've...
I think so, yeah.
I think he has.
I'm slightly patterned on Adam Carolla.
I don't know if he says he's patterned after him, but...
influenced by, whatever you call it.
Yeah. He's one of those guys, too, that when you look at him, I think it's funny, too. He just always kind of has a funny look on his face.
He's got a Guy Smiley head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's always kind of squinting.
I always liked him on Loveline. I thought he was funny on that show.
Well, you know what he did before that? What's strange is that he was just a carpenter, and I think he was a boxing instructor.
Really?
Yeah. And he meets Jimmy Kimmel. Jimmy Kimmel was a radio guy, and he met Adam Carolla, I guess, at a gym, and Adam Carolla was going to train Jimmy Kimmel.
Wow.
And that's how they met and got to be friends and teamed up. And then somehow, through those connections, he gets this run sidekick with Dr. Drew for Love Lines, which always seemed like the strangest marriage to me. You had this, this doctor, and then you had Adam Carolla there. Bitching about this and that. And it was funny. It was an odd marriage, but it was funny.
All right, you say he got into some trouble and some things he said on his podcast. I thought you could say basically anything you wanted to on a podcast and never really...
Yeah, but when you get high profile, people are going to get mad about it.
Yeah.
He also said Manny Pacquiao was illiterate and had brain damage and prays to chicken bones. We're laughing at
the fact that he got in trouble for that.
Yes.
That's the part.
Not what it said.
In a beautiful fit of justice. All right, we're waiting for him to call us, and he's not. But
let me ask you this.
So I hate Adam Carolla now.
So he's got
no
the
talent jerk.
The biggest podcast in the world.
Yeah.
He makes tons of money off of that, right?
Mm-hmm. I think he does.
Can you make as much money off a podcast as you can off a national TV show or radio
show? Well, most
show?
People don't. If anyone has a shot at it, he would.
Yeah.
Because they sell advertisements in the podcast. All right, joining us now on the phone, Adam Carolla himself, who's playing the part of Adam Carolla at Granada Theater on October 15th. Buy tickets at GranadaTheater.com. Adam, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
We're worried you weren't going to call there for a while.
Well, I got caught up in another conversation, but I freed myself up to speak to you, thankfully.
Was it another media interview?
Yeah, and what happens is you know, everyone's like, hey, you know, you're supposed to talk for 10 minutes, but you get into minute 13, and I love talking, but I would love talking to you, too. And so you got to do this weird, it's kind of like when you're talking to your mom on the phone, you know, you got to go, I got to wrap this up. You feel weird.
All right, do you miss doing morning radio, or do you feel like you got out of a death sentence?
I miss certain things about morning radio. It was hard for me because I did 10 years plus, like 11 years of late night syndicated safe harbor, as they call it, radio. Like, my gig was from 10 to midnight, and I felt like, you know, a stand-up comedian who was just working some smoky jazz club every night. And, you know, coming home at 12:30 at night and watching my Sports Center and drinking my red wine and going to bed at 2 a.m. and, you know, waking up at 9, 10 in the morning. And then all of a sudden I go from the late shift to getting up at 4:15. It was completely insane. But comedically, it was weird because you have a comedic clock. And your comedic clock, if you're a stand-up or you do late-night radio, it's like 9:30, 10, 10:30. That's like your sweet spot of comedy. And it's weird trying to do comedy at 6:15 in the morning when you're used to doing it at 10:30 at night.
That's been our problem the last 16 years.
Yeah, we are not in the comedy sweet spot. That's our problem.
I would tell your program director, you know, you see me at 10 o'clock at night, I am effing hysterical.
All right, we were talking about this since you're in the Guinness Book of World Records or some kind of record book about most downloaded podcast, and your podcast is incredibly popular. Is it incredibly profitable? Are you making as much now as you were making when you were on radio?
Yes. Well, it depends, because you guys know from working in radio, salaries fluctuate quite a bit. I am. And the reason I am is the podcast, you know, you can monetize it. We have sponsors and commercial time and all that kind of stuff. But the part about the podcast that I didn't really know about is you can use it to sell tickets to live shows. Or I had a book that came out called In 50 Years We'll All Be Chicks, out in paperback. And I'd sold about 10,000 copies before the book was released, just in pre-sales. And so I was on the Amazon top 10 bestsellers list 2 months before the book came out. Just because I had a podcast, and I said, hey, go out and pre-order the book on Amazon. So there's a way to monetize it that's the way we all know from radio, which is, hey, you want a one-minute spot, it'll cost you a couple $1,000s. But the other way is buy my book, buy my T-shirt, buy my ticket, and I'll see you at the club, you know. So there's different ways to monetize it.
All right, so this gig that you're doing at Granada, is it going to be stand-up? Is it storytelling? What all are you doing there?
No, I do stand-up, but it's sort of a multimedia event, which is started doing my podcast just live on stage, and then I just sort of transitioned into doing stand-up. But it's the kind of thing where, you know, as a stand-up, half of it is set up, and then comes the punchline, and I could sort of stand there and tell you about my dog, Molly, and she's fat, and she's a blonde lab, and blah, blah, blah. Or I could just show you a picture. And my thing is, boom, picture of Molly, then I'll launch into the story and or joke. So it's kind of, it's stand-up, it's a PowerPoint presentation, essentially. what it is. But it's 90 minutes, it's jokes and stories and little shorts and things. And it's sort of, it's kind of stand-up for the ADD generation, which is like, you know, it's instead of 90 minutes of me standing there, it's 90 minutes of me standing there with stuff going on behind me.
So you've done TV and radio, but you still go back to stand-up. You think you'll always do that? You think you'll always have that as, I don't know, maybe kind of the center of what you like to do?
You know, it's this thing with me, which I got, you know, I figured out what makes a bad job. And what makes a bad job is two things. It's compensation and it's repetition. And people forget about the repetition part. Like, you know, when they say the guy worked at the same postal sorting center for 41 years and then he died, everyone feels bad. And they feel bad because the guy's best year was $40,000, but they also feel bad because he had to go to the same place for 41 years. And the thing that's great about show business is you're doing a TV show. You know, I'm doing a car show. I'm writing my second book. I'm looking at an independent film. I'm doing a podcast. I'm doing stand-up. It, to me, it's the variety that I dig. And if I did nothing but stand-up, I'm sure I would learn to hate stand-up. And if I did nothing but write books, I'm sure I'd hate that as well. So the bouncing around from one venue to the next is the part of it that's the best part of showbiz. To me, the money is sort of second, but the variety is the first part.
Now, you mentioned cars. You love cars. You love building stuff. You like all kinds of manly things. But what is the girliest thing that you like?
I like, I used to like Sex in the City. and actually, I was at the, funny story. I was at the. It was funny. Oh, so my birthday. So about 2-3 years ago, Sex in the City 2 was coming to theaters, and my birthday is May 27th. And I was sitting around watching TV with my wife, and it was like in the middle of March, and it said, you know, Sex in the City 2 coming to theaters May 27th. And I jokingly looked at my wife and I said, well, I guess we know how we're going to be celebrating my birthday this year. And, of course, smash cut to May 24th, May 25th. And I'm starting to get all these emails about, I guess, so we're going to see Sex in the City too for your birthday. And I'm getting crappy emails from Jimmy Kimmel saying, why do we got to go see? And I was like, I was kidding, but it was too late. The wife had made all the plans. Jimmy had bought all the tickets, and we were all going to see Sex in the City 2 for my birthday, even though I didn't want to see it. Although I got to say, I saw the first one, so I am kind of a wuss that way. But I didn't want to see it. Anyway, I dragged everyone there. They were pissed off, and we were at literally opening night in Hollywood. And when me and Jimmy came walking out of the theater, a guy from TMZ hopped out of the bushes and said, what are you two from the Man Show doing to the, going to the opening night of Sex in the City? And I was very stoned, thankfully.
So yeah, I heard you guys got wasted going to see that.
A good answer. Yeah, you got to see. It's on. I don't know if it's still up. You can find it on TMZ, but it was pretty. It was pretty funny. It was pretty funny. I'll say Sex in the City and the girls. That's
the short answer.
That's my guilty pleasure. Yeah.
Visiting with Adam Carolla. All right, you're not really known as a political guy, but did you watch the debates? And do you have an opinion on this whole Republican field?
You know, the my feeling with it is I don't know, you know, Mitt Romney, I don't know if anyone get, what is he, Mormon? I don't know if we can get a Mormon in there. It's always this kind of thing where it always feels like, it's sort of like, it's like when you go to a party and there's a bunch of chicks there, and the good news is there's no twos and no threes, but the bad news is there's no nines and no tens. There's a whole bunch of fives and sixes, and you would gladly trade the gaggle of fives and sixes in for one 10. You know what I mean? And that's the way I always sort of feel around this time of year. Like, I feel like I'd get rid of I don't need seven fours or eight fives. I need one 10. And I don't know who that is.
Rick Perry's not your 10?
Who?
Rick Perry.
Yeah, that's my point, you know. But, you know, look, we got Barack. We got hope and change. Everyone's seen the big change that's taken place over the last year, right?
Did you vote for Barack?
No, I never vote for anybody. I don't, because I don't buy into it. Like, everyone, you know, when everyone's falling to their knees and talking about hope and change, first off, it's like, change? What change? How much changing do we need to do, by the way? Mexico needs to change. We don't need that much change. And then the hope part, like, how's that work? You sit around and hope that something changes? That's not a great plan. You should go do something. But nothing ever changes. It's all the same. You don't know the difference. Seriously, Bush could have had a third term, or it could have been Barack's first term, and if I just locked you up in a closet and then let you out and said, look at your 401k, look at your family, look at your job, look at your potholes, look at the price of gas. You tell me who's in. I don't think you'd know. Mm-hmm. And that's my challenge to everyone who gets so behind one candidate or the other. Do you think you would even know 2 years into the term if I just let you out of a closet and you looked around? I don't think anyone who voted for Barack, if I just let him out of a closet in 3 years, would look around and go, oh, yeah, my guy definitely won this.
That's a great point.
All the potholes have been filled with pixie dust, and the schools have no more illiteracy, and there's no graffiti anywhere. Like, no, it always just stays the same.
All right, Adam, before we let you go, we have to ask the question we ask all our guests, and that was, when was the last time you had sex?
Oh, let's see. I have to go my Hawaiian trip. When the hell was it? Like a week ago? Something like that? When we were arguing about Hawaii. Yeah, let's say Hawaii. I'm going to pick a time and a place. Hawaii, a week ago. Yeah.
Hawaii, a week ago. All right, thanks, Adam.
In front of the kids. Thank you.
Gosh. Oh, gosh. Yeah. Why'd you have to add that?
Because we all need to have that horrible experience there with our friends.
Wait, do? You busted your parents?
Everybody has at least heard their parents doing it, and that's the important part.
Oh,
that's the important part.
So you've heard your mother's sex sounds.
Yes, I have. Mm-hmm. Now, hold on, let me close my eyes. Yep, I have.
All right, Adam Carolla at the Granada Theater on October 15th. You can get tickets at granadatheater.com. Thanks, Adam.
Thanks, guys.
All right. He's Adam Carolla. Funny. Oh, yeah, he hates us. There's no doubt about it.
That was a quick click.
Well, I love his point about the politics and which candidate you get behind. Great point. You know how hopeful all the Obama supporters were. If you had blindfolded them, brought them out of the cave 2 years later and said, wow, look at the economy. It's in shambles. We're at war. We still have troops in the Middle East. They would have all said to a man, oh, then Obama wasn't elected.
Yeah, right.
Because he was going to change all of that.
But we've got to frame every election as if it's really and truly life or death for every single American.
Mm-hmm.
Remember Alec Baldwin, wasn't he? He was supposed to move to Canada. Instead,
should have happened a decade ago.
Instead, he's on one of the greatest TV shows of all time, 30 Rock.
I don't know about that.
Oh.
All right, Gordo, thank you. That's The Corner. It's 9:33 on The Ticket. Coming up next, The Ranch Report with David Moore, or the Cowboys.